Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
Sean is on the line. Sean, tell us, why did you get in touch with the show today?
Well, I come from, I'm a councillor down in Leitrim, and there's a huge problem down there of depopulation that has happened since 2010, when they came a new code of practice from the EPA regarding one-off rural housing. It has been devastation for many of the rural areas. And I can give you examples of my own parish in Glenfarne, Andrey, where in 2007, this is when the boom was on, when the tax incentive was there, a lot of homes were built. The council gave plan permission for 19 homes in Glenfarne. They all weren't built at that particular time. But what happened was the population was stabilised and the school numbers started to grow. In my neighbouring parish of Kitty Clahar, over a nine-month period recently, 15 deaths occurred, no births. So this is what we're dealing with in the rural areas. And my own development group, in February of last year, decided at our monthly meeting that there was great concern with depopulation. And we decided whenever the government was formed that we would invite the relevant minister down to deal with depopulation and the planning issues. Now, unfortunately, that didn't happen because of the COVID, but we hope that will happen in the future. Also, Andrey, it's not a case of funding not coming into the rural areas. You know, there's Clare funding, there's town and village, there's leader funding, and we're working very closely with the council on many projects in the rural areas.
But you see,
but the,
John,
the missing element.
Yeah, the bit that I'm wondering is that, you know, despite all of the funding that's there and the housing development through the funding allocations through the county council, through Leitrim County Council, do people just not want to build houses in Glenfarne and Kiltearn?
People want to build houses, but with the change in 2010 to the planning laws, the code of practice, it's virtually impossible to build houses in many parts of Leitrim.
How did that criteria change, Sean?
That changed, I suppose, and we all want to protect the environment, climate change. No, we're all into that, but we can't have depopulation in the rural areas where people always lived, Andrine. And this is very, very sad. You know, we're at breaking point in many of the rural areas in County Leitrim and in many neighbouring counties as well. And, you know, nobody is shouting stop to this issue.
And but I do think people just not want to live there, Sean?
To do, and indeed, never so much. And indeed, this trend was starting, people wanting to come to Leitrim. Even before COVID kicked in last year, people, the auctioneers in Leitrim will tell you, you can't keep property out in Leitrim. People are coming looking for property in
Leitrim.
Well,
we actually had one of your Leitrim auctioneers here in Carrick and Shannon, Gordon Hughes, on this very programme actually just before Christmas, talking about people, you know, the exodus of people leaving Dublin and leaving cities and moving back home and moving to rural areas. But are you saying, like, if I decided now today, I'm going to pack up here in Dublin, I'm going to move back to the northwest, and I decide to go to Glenfarne, can I not just buy a site and apply for planning permission?
It's virtually impossible in Glenfarne. There wasn't a house built in Glenfarne in 2016. Now, that'll tell you how critical the situation is in my parish. No home built in Glenfarne since 2016. So we're dying. The rural areas are dying, and my surrounding communities are dying because we're not allowed to, and where people always lived in the past, they're not allowed now to build homes. And as I said, you know, a lot of good work is going on with the council and funding coming in working closely with the community. But if you're not allowed to build your home, you know, it's a total disaster.
Suppose, is it just down to the fact that you can't just have this plethora of one-off houses all over rural areas?
I don't want to see the countryside being flooded with one-off rural houses. It doesn't have to be that way, but you need a core number of people living in the countryside for survival, and we're dropping below that, Andrine. It's serious, and you know, I don't think. I've talked to the government in the past, and I've talked to ministers. I think this has to be looked at again, because the rural areas will not survive, Andrine, when you haven't people in them.
And I wonder as well, Sean, is this an issue for people in other parts of the country, in areas, towns similar to catchments, similar to the likes of Kiltie-Clogher and Glenfarne? If you are listening to Sean here today and you feel that your own area is in a similar position, the number, if you want to call us here, is 1894-53106. What is the knock-on effect, Sean, of this? When you say it's killing off rural communities and they're dying out, like, what is the actual impact?
Well, the impact is you know, you don't survive without people. Whether you're in a town or a village or a countryside, you don't survive without people. And when you drop below a critical level of a mass of people, your community won't survive. And I'm part of a development group in my own community in Glenfarne for the last 20 years. And we have made great strides. But the key to it all is people. And we're losing our people. And, you know, in the past, you know, Andrine, we lost our people to immigration. We lost them to the famine. And now we're self-inflicting.
But you're not saying you're losing them to the EPA.
Sorry?
Well, what do you think you're losing them to when you say we lost people in the past to immigration and the famine?
Yeah, the rural areas and Ireland lost a lot of its people. But now we're self-inflicting. When people want to come into the area, we can't facilitate them. There's okay. something wrong there. It's different. When I was
a young guy,
in school, people couldn't get away quick enough. There was nothing to hold them in the rural areas. That has changed. Broadband is improving. People want to work from their home, and we can't facilitate them. That is wrong.
So what needs to happen?
What needs to happen? There needs to be a game changer where people, if with the change in 2010 to the planning laws for the one-off rural housing, if they're going to be as strict as they were when they were introduced, well then young people will have to be helped to build their homes in the rural areas financially, or else the rural areas would die. Because town land after town land is dying at the moment.
Okay.
And we seem to be doing nothing about it.
Okay. I just want to ask you, Sean, about the news that has emerged this morning. The government is going to legislate now to basically give workers, employees, the right to be able to request remote working. It's all under this part of the National Remote Working Strategy. What do you make of that? Good news?
Well, Andrew, that is great news. I'm only after hearing that. I think that's the way forward. When people want to come and live in the rural areas, stop the gridlock in our major cities around Ireland. Leitrim can play a part in solving that gridlock, a small part. And this is the way forward with that news this morning.
Okay, Sean, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thanks for making contact with us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Do you agree with Sean? Is your own area facing depopulation? Is this something that you're experiencing in other catchments across the country? We want to hear from you today. It's 1894-53-106. Trudy is also on the line in Wexford. Trudy, one of the points we just mentioned there when we were talking to Sean is these new laws that are to be introduced that will give employees in this state the option now to permanently work from home. A good idea?
Yeah, Andrea, I think it's a really good idea. And obviously there's going to be lots of reasons why people can't work at home, if they're public facing or client facing and all of that. But I think there are a lot of people who can legitimately work from home, and it's great that people will have the option to request that and not be stigmatised or be anxious about asking that from their employers.
Is it something that you do?
Yeah, I'm working from home at the moment since the first lockdown, and I guess I had blended working before that,
okay,
which was lovely. I had a few days at home, but I also had a commute to Dublin 2 days a week. So for me, my life changed dramatically for the better, in terms of being able to stop the commute but still be able to work remotely and work from home during the lockdown. So I got to have a sense of what it's like to be able to kind of live and work in your local area and be able to work remotely fully. So it was lovely.
You're in Wexford, is that right?
Yeah, I'm in Wexford.
I don't know.
I have a 5-year-old.
Okay. So it's
great to have the flexibility.
Yeah. I don't know what area or field you're working in, Trudy, but, you know, did that form part of your decision to work in the industry or take up the job that you're in? The fact that, you know, even prior to COVID and the restrictions, you had the option of blended learning or blended working?
That's a really good question. It didn't initially inform me at all. I'm a clinical psychologist and a lecturer, so they were just my passions in terms of working with people and teaching. So it's very public facing, and so it wasn't initially part of the plan. But I got to work for Crisis Textline 50808, and that involved some remote work, and that was transformational for me. Okay. To be able to see that you could work with people, follow your passion, and still have a remote working environment. And I'm back lecturing now at the Royal College of Surgeons in the Centre for Positive Psychology and Health. So we'll eventually be back in the university, but we've been doing some online work, and it's been lovely to be able to still have contact with people and still be able to communicate and teach and work with our students in the public.
Given the field that you're in psychology or as a psychologist, do you not need that, you know, kind of more face-to-face personal relationship with your students when you're lecturing them, and particularly in the likes of tutorials and stuff?
Yeah. It's the preferred mode, I think, for most people, to definitely have the face-to-face. And it's the mode that we're most used to. But I think what I learned from working remotely before I got to lecture remotely, if that makes sense. I learned a lot of techniques from working with 50808 and working with a team that was global and working remotely on different time zones. You can work remotely and virtually really well. And there's a lot of really good teachers and lecturers who are fantastic in the virtual world and who are really good at engaging and working with their students and bringing that personable, that connection and kind of getting discussions and group interaction going virtually. So it's a different way of working, and I think people need to learn techniques and tools for doing it. We don't know how to do it automatically.
No, I'm really interested today to hear from the employers, actually, not just necessarily the employees, but the employers and the business owners who now might have to change how their companies operate when the government legislates to allow workers that right to request, when the knock on the door comes to say, you know, hello management, I now want to work from home 3 days or 2 days a week, and how companies, what are the costs, if any, associated with trying to adapt to this? Peter's also on the line here in Dublin. Peter, what do you think about this issue?
When I first saw it, I thought to myself, you know, it sounds like a great thing. But the more I thought about it, I thought, I mean, what does that mean for the employee later on down the line? You know, I think one of my fears about it is that if the employer allows, you know, one of their employees to work from home, doing the same job for the same rate of pay, and let's say for argument's sake that employee leaves, they retire or whatever it is, you know, in order to save costs, what's to stop them from getting that job to, say, Poland or Slovakia or somewhere where, you know, the rate of pay is cheaper? Now that is done to a degree. If you think about call centers and certain IT roles, you know, they're being, you know, sent to cheaper countries. But like, there, you know, if an employer sees that someone's able to work from home remotely with no issues whatsoever in terms of productivity to their job role, you know, when they're looking at their costs later on in a couple of months' time because of the year that we've had, they may say to themselves, well, why can't I just get somebody cheaper to do the exact same job? Because it doesn't matter to the employer where they're based, so long as that the work is actually being done.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I just want to say, Ruth here in Longford has got in touch with us on the News Talk text line. She says that she's in the same position as Trudy, who we just heard from there a moment ago, working for a tech company remotely in the Midlands. Great quality of life. My company has given us the option to work remotely when offices reopen. It'll be a huge, you know, change, Peter, for the workforce that comes, you know, through and graduates through college over the next 5 to 10 years. Like, I know, you know, just I can just only obviously draw on personal experience, but for me, a big part of the job and where you work, it's actually the work environment. And that plays, I know, for a lot of people, that's a huge part of what you do and why you work for particular companies, because of the kind of environment that you're, you know, you're in on a daily basis. Like, I don't know if long term sitting in a spare room in a house would appeal to me at all.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I've worked in IT for must be close to 20 years now at this stage. And is it the first, well, last year was the first time I ever actually had to work remotely. And then back in March, my company said, you know, you need to start working from home. And I will admit the first 2 or 3 months was hard. But over time, I got used to the idea. And, you know, I had my own space, my own routine. I was able to get other things done in my personal life, and it worked out great, you know. But I think my only issue really is that it sounds great, but, you know, if they can get it done cheaper in other countries with certain jobs that are doing, you know, let's say for argument's sake, a software designer, right? If you have a software designer who's based in Ireland, but then you can get another one in Poland, as an example, or Slovakia, or even outside of Europe, maybe in India, that does the exact same job, but for cheaper, why wouldn't the employer go for that person themselves?
Okay.
You know,
well, maybe it would be. Yeah, maybe when we get more details of this initiative, you know, throughout the course of the day, I'm sure that'll be questions that that those legislating for this will have to answer.
The other thing I would like.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to point out is that also if people do a lot more remote working and stuff like that, that will also have an impact in terms of transport and housing, in terms of jobs as well. Because, you know, if there's, as an example, if people aren't driving to work or they're not taking the bus to work, that means there's less need for buses and trains. So therefore, people who, you know, mechanics and drivers, aren't going to be needed.
Well,
so there
just,
is a kind of a knock-on effect.
Well, you just heard our very first caller there today, Sean in Leitrim, who got in contact with us here by, it was email actually, it was initially lunchtimelive@newstalk.com to say that, you know, the very point he was raising this afternoon is the whole issue of depopulation and the impact that that is having on rural areas. Peter, we leave it there for the moment. 53106 is the number if you want to let us know your view. We're going to come back to this though in a few moments.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
On the issue we were just talking about there, this idea that's been put forward today on remote working, the fact that people will have a legal right to seek to work from home now. This is into the future under these plans that are being announced by the government today. Monica in Cork has got in touch to say, regarding the points been made by your last guest, Peter, you cannot be employed by an Irish company while physically working from outside Ireland. All the examples you're provided are employed by vendors, contractors located in the country where the employee is located. Mute point, I'm afraid. You can keep them coming into us on 53106. Kerry, though, is in Dublin and got in contact with us here on 18945 3106. Kerry, why did you get in touch with the show today?
Well, I was just listening. I was very interested in your caller who was talking about, you know, the rural situation and housing. I lived in the UK for about 10 years and I was often driving out into the countryside and you would not see one-off housing on the scale that you see in this country. And I think that's why the rollout of broadband was so difficult in rural areas, you know, that I had a lot to do with it. But, you know, if government are pouring money into the rural areas to offset this problem of housing, what is happening to the money? Where is it going? You know, what's it being spent on?
Do you live in a rural area yourself, Kerry?
No, but two of my family do.
Do they? Okay. Yeah. And was that something they wanted to do? They wanted to live in a sort of a more isolated part?
Well, both of them live quite near a town, which I think, you know, this is what happens in the UK. People seem to locate near a reasonably good-sized village or a town. You know, they don't stretch way out into the countryside, you know.
Not in the same way as they do in some parts here.
Yeah, we seem to have a bit of an obsession about, you know, a white bungalow with Grecian pillars out in the middle of nowhere, which was the case in the past because I saw many of them myself, as I'm sure most people did. And it didn't look right. It just didn't look right, you know. You know, it's a cause for feeling isolated as well. I mean, lots of rural people say that they feel isolated. And of course you would. You know, whereas if you were living close to a village or a town, you wouldn't feel that sense of isolation, you know?
Yeah, and that's something we hear from, you know, people contact the show actually quite frequently about, is the whole discussion around feeling isolated and not just, you know, during COVID times either.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I know some people do prefer privacy, you know, but I still say that, you know, these one-off houses out in the middle of nowhere, I don't think it looks right. And I didn't see it in the UK. And they had these beautiful little stone-clad houses in their villages. You know, it looked very pretty and not an eyesore in any way. So maybe government should look at their planning laws and how they managed it.
Okay. You know? All right. Well, listen, Kerry, thanks for making contact with us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. If you have a view on the discussion today, the announcement regarding remote working, or even as one of our callers, Sean, mentioned there, the whole concerns around depopulation, you can let us know. It's 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Another listener on this topic saying forestry is one of the main effects depopulating rural parts of Leitrim. The younger generation in the county do want to live here. We're just not being given a chance to do so. You can keep them coming into us, and if you want to get us as well by email to today, it's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live on Newstalk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth and truly delicious chocolate experience.
And there's lots of you out there getting in touch with us today. Lots of callers about these new laws that will give workers in the state the option to potentially permanently work from home. You could have a legal right now to seek to work from home in the future. These are under the government plans that are being announced now today, even after COVID-19, not just a pandemic measure. Dagmar is on the line in Offaly. Why did you get in touch now in relation to working from home?
Hi, Andrea. Good. Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. Well, I just felt like I could, you know, I should share our story in our particular case. My husband was commuting from Offaly to Dublin pre-COVID times, and he used to leave the home. We used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he'd leave at about 6:15, and he wouldn't be back home until 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, depending on how the trains would be running. Our family life was practically non-existent because the weekends were then, you know, running around with the children and being tired, tremendously tired from the rest of the week working. And since the COVID times, it's just a complete change for us. We spent enormous time together as a family, which has greatly benefited all of us, children, my husband. You know, my husband was able to start teaching my son guitar and French. You know, we go cycling, playing tennis. It's just like a newfound life. It's and yet he's incredibly well supported from his office. He's been given all the equipment he needs. He's been working. Again, he logs in the morning, sometime around 8:30 in the morning, and he doesn't stop working until about 6:30 in the evening. But still, at that, it's just a incredible difference for us.
Yeah, just not so having to do that commute. And was he, Dagmar, was he was relying on public transport to do that commute from Offaly to Dublin?
He would drive to Tullamore, and from there he would take the train, and then he would get off the train, take the bike and cycle into the office. Now, again, like, I think there was, you know, I heard earlier on a gentleman arguing against, you know, what's to stop the companies to go out and hire workers from countries that offer cheaper workforce. I think surely we have tax laws that and tax implications that would prevent that. The other point I thought I would make, you know, the argument for the rural economy, the support of rural economy, the development and support of it, where, you know, I just think making people commute to Dublin for the job that they can very, very much the same perform from the comfort of their home. I just think it should be a right. It shouldn't force a person to do either or. I think everyone should have the choice to, should you choose to commute, fair enough, you should have the choice and option to do so. And should you wish to work from home, I think you should have the very same right.
Do you not think though, Dagmar, it's very industry dependent?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, I do think that. But again, I think it's down to the individual and down to the individual business. And that's why once you have the right in place and you are protected and you have the choice, I think when you take on a job and you're interviewing for a job, you know, you're being presented with a certain amount of conditions that you're taking the job on with. And I think you're going into that job knowing, okay, this is what's expected of me. And this is the clear vision that I have in front of me that I am willing to deliver. And I think, you know, it's not like somebody is going to come to you and say, from today on, you must work from home or you must commute. I think, again, it's all about the choice.
So good news for your own family life anyway, following this this announcement today.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I was jumping for joy, and I certainly hope that it will be approved and it will go through. You know, because yeah. As I said, I can only speak for ourselves and for our family. It has just had a tremendously positive impact on every aspect of our lives.
Well, that's good to hear. Always nice to hear a little bit of good news as well. Dagmar, thanks for making contact with us here from County Offaly on News Talk this afternoon. If you have a view on that, do let us know. If you want to call into the station, it's 1890 453 106.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.